good morning. It is so good to see each and every one of you, and also for those who are online this morning. You know, as we profess to be a follower of Christ, you know, we are then expected, and this is this part of us, to be on a road, to be on a road to discipleship. And each of us in this room are all in a different road. Maybe you're just beginning that road. And maybe for some of you, you've been on that road for a long, long time. But we are all together on a road. Road to discipleship. Becoming more and more like Christ. So let me start off by asking this question. Have you ever gone on a road trip, vacation, and you're driving a long time? Yes, yes, yes. And now if you're thinking and growing up in Hawaii, having grown here, maybe that's not the case here in Hawaii. Because I don't think you can go for a long, long time on a long road and a road trip. I guess you could go to the other side, come back around, go back to the other side. I mean, you could do that. But there is also a long road on traffic. Maybe that's our long road here in Hawaii. But certainly, if you've been in the mainland, you've lived in the mainland, you've traveled to the mainland, there's that chance that you've gone on a long drive on some certain road. But when you are in that road, don't you get so excited when you see this sign on the side of the road? Look at this sign. Yes, yes, yes. Rest area, rest stops. And I like those rest stops when there is a travel pilot, a travel plaza, because there's all kinds of things there. It's not just when you go to the other rest stops, you get just trees, bathrooms, and that's it. But on a plaza, there you get to use the bathroom, bathroom breaks, refill your gas in your car, get some food for the road that's coming up, and for the most time, maybe get out of the car, stretch your legs, or even just rest those weary eyes from the long drive and get ready for the next leg, right, of the ride. Well, let me just share a little bit about what has been for us the Lums. As we were, many times we were living in Denver, Colorado, in Portland, Oregon, we were assigned and appointed to be in a position to where we would travel. We would travel a lot from one state to another. And when we were doing that, I tell you, there were times and times when we would travel from, I would say weekly, that we would go and drive long distances and many hours with two young kids. Talk about two young kids in a minivan. And can I just tell you, I thank the Lord for minivans. And you know what? I thank you so much that I still drive a minivan. All right? But imagine what it would be like. Makai and Gabby, I wish I had a picture, but they were under 4 years old. Maybe Makai was four, Gabby was about one, or just a baby. And now you're driving, having kids crying in your car for a long time, not just 5 minutes. It was long. Lots of snacks, kids' cartoon movies to occupy them in our travel, thinking about Power Rangers, Blue's Clues. I'm kind of dating myself here because I don't know what they are now. But those were the things that we needed as we drive for hours and hours, making stops along the way to rest, but also not stopping at all. But when I think about that, church, it is actually dangerous to travel long distances without taking rest stops. Without taking rest stops. Travel experts recommend 10 minutes rest for every 2 hours traveling. Keep that in mind in your next travel. Because you see, I did not learn that. We traveled, there was a time when we drove from San Diego, California, if you know where that is, to Denver, Colorado. Now, we drove nonstop. The only time we stopped was to kind of switch driving and also to get gas for the minivan. We drove 21 hours. Imagine that, going through Arizona and New Mexico, and on top of that, there was a time change as well as you went down through those roads, and we just made it in time for Major Phil to attend his 1 p.m. meeting. So nonstop, 24 hours. And I still remember that last leg of the journey from New Mexico to Colorado. We had the windows wide open, the radios blasting, and Major Phil, I would see him slapping his face like this as he's driving every 2 minutes just to keep himself awake while the kids in the back were fast asleep. Wow. You know, this got me thinking. This got me thinking of my faith journey. This got me thinking about your faith journey this morning. It gives me a clear picture of what a Christian life is like without rest stops. Certainly that drive from San Diego to Denver was that picture. You see, but God built rest stops into the road of discipleship. And it is essential, it is important that we make them an important part of our everyday life. You see, without them, without rest stops, what do? We turn up the volume, we distract ourselves, we slap ourselves in the face just to keep going. You see, the Christian walk was never meant to be like that. We need rest stops on the road of discipleship. We are on this journey, Church of Faith, that will eventually lead us to an eternity with Jesus. Amen? But we have to remember that our journey isn't just about what we're doing to get there, but to enjoy the journey as well. And so this morning in our passage from Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42, we will find Jesus and his disciples taking the rest stop on the road to Jerusalem. They stopped at the home of Mary and Martha for food and rest. The story of Mary and Martha certainly is very familiar to most of us here in person and for those online. And you probably have heard it many, many, many times. And you're probably saying this morning, I've heard this story. I know what this story is all about. But church, this morning, can you just go with me on a drive this morning? Will you go ahead and whether you're a young person or whether you're the oldest person in the room here, church, will you buckle up? Will you buckle up your seats? Because we're going to go on a drive with Mary and Martha. Because they will tell us, they will share with us a lesson of three essential steps to taking necessary rest stops in our Christian walk. On the road to discipleship, on the road to growing and becoming more and more like Christ. Will you go with me and let's journey together? So let's go. Let's go for it. Are you ready? And for those of you online, buckle up, all right? Put some seatbelt on. So let's start off the context of this story. Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem in order to die on the cross of Calvary. And imagine, church, the heavy, heavy burden on his heart as he waited on God for direction and the right timing. Luke 10:38 tells us, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. This was a stop. This was a stop of his traveling and teaching ministry. And church, we know from scriptures that the village that we're talking about here is the village of Bethany. And Bethany, for those of you who love geography and maps, Bethany is only about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem. But Jesus will not go directly into the city from Bethany. Rather, he and his disciples will continue to go to around Jerusalem and teach and preach the surrounding cities and villages right before God calls him to enter Jerusalem in about a week as we look into the Palm Sunday. And when they entered the village, a woman named Martha opens up her home. And then when we get to her home, there we find her sister. Her sister, and it says in verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. All right, guys, let's take a little break. I see a rest stop. Okay, let's kind of pull off to the side. Let's stop here because you see, Mary sets the example of what is the first essential step in taking rest stops on our road to discipleship. The first one is this, that we are to sit at Jesus' feet. You and I must sit at Jesus' feet. We must take time to listen to Christ. And Luke tells us that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And Luke tells us he uses the word literally. It means to sit close by. To sit close by. And expresses this concept of nearness. And so we get this picture of sitting close to God. Can you see that picture? enjoying nearness and being in the presence of Jesus. And now Mary is found at the Master's feet. Picture yourself. And that position for Mary is a position of humility. It is a position of worship. And significantly, this is also a position of learning. Learning. We're never too old to learn. And did you know that it was virtually unheard of for a woman like Mary to sit at the feet of a rabbi? But Mary knows that this particular Jewish rabbi is more than a Jewish rabbi. It was Jesus. It was Jesus, the Master. You see, church, we're not told what Jesus taught Mary. Perhaps Jesus was in the midst of explaining the gospel to her. Jesus may have been describing experiences and sharing their meaning. And we don't know what he might probably been instructing her and says, Mary, this is what it means to be a follower of me. Now, I want you to look at that verse. There's the word listening. One of the things that describes Mary in this story is that she was really listening to Jesus' words. Do we know that? We just read it. And she was I just picture Jesus came in and Mary just sat right in front of him. Picture that. As we know, did you know that it is very possible to hear something on a surface level and not really pay much attention? It is possible to read, but it's not really internalized. As we spend time in the Word, church, we need to ask ourselves this. Are we really listening to this like Mary did? Are you giving it your full attention to apply it and do it in your lives? Because James tells us right up front, he says, but don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, guess what? You are only fooling yourselves. Because you see, whatever Jesus was saying to Mary, she was so glued to his every word. Laser focus. Mary's desire to be with Jesus is seen very clearly as we're told she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. And I can just sense the peace in Mary's heart. And don't we want peace in our heart? Don't we? Her attention was fixed on Christ alone, and his every word. Do you have that same desire as Mary to be with Jesus every day? To be in prayer, to listen, and to learn a new thing from him? Because you see, the psalmist tells us, and God tells us, to be still and know that he is God. And that when we do that, he is saying, I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. And church, I don't know about you, but last week we ended the What on Earth Am I Here For series. We finished it, but I know it was not the end. It was just the beginning, wasn't it? For most of us, for all of us. And I know that we read 42 days of reading. Did you know that? We said 40 days, but we told you, we just wanted you to keep going. 42, reading and studying the Word and discovering God's purposes for our lives, and whether you did it yourself or with a group. But now, and that is over, but it's not. My prayer is that you are finding rest stops in your schedules. Are you spending quality time in the Word and prayer? Have you been slacking lately? Be honest. Be honest, have you? We must take time to daily draw near to Jesus. And I don't know what that will look like for you. For some of you, it could be in the morning. For some of you, it could be in the evening or in the middle. What does that look like to be with Jesus, to sit at his feet? All right, let's kind of keep moving in this journey, because I know that there's another stop ahead of us. There is. And as I look back to the long travels that we've done with the kids, they were exciting times. You know, kids in the car, long distances, you get to do crazy fun things. Those were the things, visiting new places. But can I just be honest with you? There was always one thing that I did not like about our journey. I've always not liked it. I'd always, something that always happens in your journey, and this is it. When you're driving on the road, especially long distance, you see bugs after bugs splats right on your screen, on your windshield, with all their guts, all kinds of colors. Yuck, it was so distracting. And I never liked that. So I would say, hey, we need to stop at the next rest stop because we need to clean this windshield. And at the same time, it's a good time to clean up the van because we've accumulated trash as well. But church, let's take another, I see another rest stop. Let's pull over. Because you see, as we pull over, we are reminded that in the road to discipleship, we must remove the distractions. We must remove and be aware and beware of life's distractions. Because church, sometimes distractions in our life can be a problem in our relationship with God. The distractions that are going in your life can be a problem in our relationship with God. And here in this story, Martha illustrates that. And it says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, but Martha was what? Distracted. The word that is translated distracted in this verse is a word from the, it means to be pulled or dragged away. And this picture is being pulled in all of sorts of directions. And it is the word that we can relate to not only too well here in the 21st century America. As we move to the next tier, we're in tier three, we move to the next tier, and I hope soon in level tier four, businesses opening up, schools are beginning to open up more. Imagine the different demands and concerns competing with all that we have each day. Do you ever feel like you're being pulled in all different directions? I know I'm not the only one here, and I know that there are some of you out there. Your work needs this, your spouse needs that, the kids need these, the house needs that, and so on. And so until we are so distracted and frustrated that we can't seem to get anything done. So church, what was it that distracted Martha? Luke tells us that she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now notice, had to be made. How many times do we get caught up in the things that just have to be done? It is so easy to deceive ourselves and others with our busyness. Somehow we feel more important if we're busy. I know we don't want to hear that, but sometimes we do. We do. But it wasn't the busyness that Jesus called to account here, but it was her distractedness. This was Martha's problem. And maybe it is our problem here for some of us. And I know for me, it can be a problem myself. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. You see, distractions cause us to lose our interest and our ability to submit and surrender to Christ's teaching. And Martha was so busy that so missing the point that rather than submitting to the authority of Jesus, she barges in and tries to tell Jesus what to do. She says, she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Can you believe that, Martha? Would be so arrogant to tell Jesus what to do. Can you believe that we have done that ourselves? Have you asked the same question as Martha has? Lord, don't you care? Don't you care whenever you allow yourself to be pulled and distracted by outward concerns or maybe selfish desires that you will end up asking the same question? Lord, don't you care? But the answer is this. Yes, Jesus does care. He cares for the birds and the sparrows. How much more does he care about you? He cares about me and you and us. And 1 Peter tells us, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. There you go. He does. But Martha was not willing to give her worries and cares to the Lord. And how many of us do that? We handle things ourselves. We take all our worries to ourselves. And we feel so overwhelmed, anxiety, And then we cry out, Lord, don't you care what's going on with me? I wonder how often we can get mad at God for not speaking to us, answering our prayers, or giving us what we want. And then what do? We start instructing God what to do. We talk to God, I want you to do this for me. How many of us do that? Look, what Martha says next is this, Lord, don't you care? Again, she says, my sisters has left me to do the work all by myself. Wow. The phrase all by myself, church, is a single word alone in the original language, alone. That Martha's problem in a nutshell is this. Martha was serving Jesus alone. And whatever we do that, whenever we do that, we minister or serve alone. Church, that is whenever we minister, we serve in our own strength. And when you do, guess what? We get burnt out. Martha was missing the joy of sitting at Jesus' feet, enjoying his presence, hearing his word, which is life itself. She was traveling the road of discipline without taking time for the rest stops. How often do we seek to serve the Lord all by ourselves without stopping to refresh ourselves in the presence, without taking those rest stops? Church, it is so vital for our spiritual life, so vital for our service itself. Because all of us live in a distracted age where the amount of information is available for us more than we can take in and absorb. It is like drinking of water from a fire hose. Yeah. So we need to be aware of our distractions because you see, the enemy wants to use our distractions. Your distractions. Have you noticed that many times lately that when you're by a traffic light and the light turns green and the car in front of you doesn't move until what? You honk. Not just once, three times, four times, or millions. That is because the driver is probably what? Distracted, on the phone, looking at their smartphone, or doing whatever they're doing. But what we are not just, church, we are not just distracted in the car. We are distracted in our homes. 24/7 social media is distracting. And how many of you can speak of that if you are into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all of those? So what is distracting you from sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word this morning? What is it? Is it business? Is it an addiction? Is it pride? Is it anger? Is it an unhealthy relationship? And the list goes on, and you know what it is. It's time to remove those distractions in this rest stop because we're going to keep going. Life continues on, doesn't it? It does. And maybe you may need to give up some things, or maybe not, church. Maybe you have to give up a lot of things this morning. Because you see, Martha was so frustrated that she actually snaps at a command at Jesus. She says, tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. But it is a request that Jesus must deny. See, Jesus will not refuse Mary at her rest stop. How can you tell Mary? How can Jesus tell Mary to leave his feet? Jesus will never tell you, you're done, go away. I'm done with you. Jesus will never do that. How can Jesus tell Mary to choose distracted and frustrated activity? Jesus would never do that. Jesus is there and encouraging us to sit at his feet. So get rid of those distractions because this journey that we're in, the journey that you go through every morning, every day, can be very overwhelming and frustrated and full of anxiety, isn't it? And as we hop onto that road, done with one rest stop, guess what? There's another rest stop ahead. Because in that rest stop, as we continue and we're almost done in this journey together, is that here Jesus says to Martha, 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 now come on. How many of you have said that to your kids, their name, not just once? You know what that means if you said it twice. Martha, Martha. Or it says, Jesus saying, Debbie, Debbie. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the best part. It will not be taken away from her. Church, this is my favorite part of this. Choosing the best part. Martha chose serving. Mary chose intimacy. Martha chose many things. Now, good things. Good things. But Mary chose one thing. Martha chose stuff. Mary chose Jesus. Martha decided activity. Mary decided things could wait. Did you hear what it is? Chose. We have a choice. Mary and Martha had a choice, and it is the same for each and every one of us. We have a choice. Service is a good thing because we should serve Jesus. But even the good thing can become a distraction. The good becomes bad if it keeps us from the best. The best is the thing that brings us closest to God. The thing that bring the most honor and glory to Him. You see, church, many activities are necessary. Don't you agree? Time, working on the job, we need that. On the side job, time to paint your house, cut your grass, wash clothes, doing homework, cooking. Many things are helpful, time of renewal, vacation, time at the beach, time away from the rat race. Many activities are good. Visiting the sick, helping the needy, playing ball with your kids, giving some personal quality time to your family. But only one thing is best and is needed is this, church: personal relationship building with Jesus. Your relationship with God is the most important thing and what matters the most. I am blessed to have a wonderful husband, a wonderful kids, a wonderful family, and what a great relationship we all have. But you know what? If I don't have a relationship with the Lord and it's not doing well, it doesn't matter. It is my relationship and your relationship with God. And I like what David said, and we're almost done here in this rest stop, is that David says, one thing I ask from the Lord, one thing. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Church, the one thing David really wanted more than anything else, the one thing he asked from the Lord, and what was that one thing? It's exactly what we see in Mary here in this Luke 10. David wanted to be, to dwell in the house of the Lord. Wow, don't you want that? Because when you're dwelling in the house of the Lord, you get to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, Yahweh. And that is like sitting at Jesus' feet, worship. And secondly, to seek in His temple. To seek means to go in search, to learn the truth of His word. Church, David was asking the same thing Mary was doing, to worship the Lord, to listen to His word, and it was the most important thing for David and for Mary. Is it important to you this morning? If you made spending time with Jesus as an ultimate priority or goal, church, what might change in your schedule? Give it a try. What might change? By spending time with the Lord, I believe we gain new perspectives on life's stresses and headaches. Starting each day with eternity in mind makes our temporary problems and to-do list seems less significant. Not only does it put things into perspective, but by sitting with Jesus every day, every moment, we become more and more like Him. And that's the goal, to become more like Him. And I'm going to call on the worship team right now. And as we can conclude in this journey, I tell you, those travels that we've done, I thank the Lord for rest stops. Because that journey that we did from San Diego to Denver, that will never happen. It was exhausting. Exhausting. And can we do that with our lives as well on the road to discipleship? In my journey, being in the Word, time in personal prayer and corporate prayer, which we had yesterday for our Saturday morning, it was amazing. Fellowship with believers, serving and sharing. Can I tell you, I fall so short. I do. And because all of this, there is a Martha in me many times, but the Mary has been one that God has been speaking to me. I need to be a Mary more than a Martha. And how important it is to becoming more like Christ, it is important to me. Therefore, I must need to fix my eyes on Him. No matter what the distractions may come my way, no matter how worried I can get, which I do, but Lord is there to help me because of His grace and His mercy and love. And I need to be obedient and faithful and trusting in Him. So how is your life, your spiritual life these days, church? Are you serious about your relationship with Christ? Are you taking the time you need for rest on those road to discipleship? And I'm not talking to the adults in the room as well. I'm talking to the young people because God wants a relationship with you as well. And He is there for you. Are you just driving down the road with the windows down, the radio blasting like crazy, slapping your face to keep yourself going? Church, that is not the way to live the Christian life. It all comes down to this: being in the presence of God. Being in the presence of God, enjoying His presence, praying, listening to Him, reflecting, because that's so vital in our Christian walk. Like Mary, as a disciple, first we need to sit at the Master's feet. Don't let the distractions, whatever that is in your life, or anyone, anything, take away that privilege of being in the presence of God. And let's keep our focus on God alone, because it's all about Him, isn't it, church? The worship team is going to sing a song. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. You know, let's stop. We're about done with our journey, but I want you, whatever journey you're in right now, your road to discipleship, can you pull over to the side? This is your rest stop. Are you sitting? Are there distractions that you need to deal with this morning? That's between you and the Lord. Are you focusing on your relationship with God? Maybe it's doing well, keep it up. But maybe you don't have that relationship with Him. You've kind of like let it go. But it's time to get back. It's time to get back on the road to discipleship. Respond as the worship team sings. The place of prayer is available. Let's act on His Spirit this morning. I don't know where you are in your journey with the Lord this morning, but I do know we're going to have to get out of this place, don't we? And face the world, that what world means to each and every one of you. So don't let this time slip away to seek Him this morning. And I want to take this opportunity to ask that for most, if you want prayer this morning, I'd like to pray for you. Even online, we have our hosts would be willing to pray with you, and just let them know that. And for you here this morning, with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, with your head bowed and no one looking, I'm going to ask you to just stand where you are. And know, and you're standing and saying, I need your prayer. I know there's things that I'm dealing with, but I do know the Lord knows what you're going through. So church, stand where you're at to know that I'm here, I need prayer, and I'm just going to pray for you this morning. God has asked us, and God has asked us to respond. I want to be I am in this road of discipleship, and I need your help, Lord. In all the things, the distractions I'm dealing with, I need your help. And He is there for you. Stand where you are, and I'm going to pray over you. Amen, amen, amen. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word. A simple, familiar story keeps reminding us about who you are and how you have called us to sit at your feet, and how you want us to remove those distractions that takes us away from sitting at your feet. But Father, one thing we need, what we can certainly choose, is you. And so Father, this morning, for those brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters who are standing in areas of this room, in your sanctuary, may you be with them, Lord, each and every one of them, and also online, those that said, I need prayer, I need help. And Lord, you are our help, you are our strength, you are our guidance. You are our triune God. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We claim you, Lord. We ask of you, Lord, to anoint us, to give us the strength and the courage to face what each of us are dealing with. And Father, as we go forth right now, may you just remind us again of who you are, that together, Lord, we're in this journey, knowing that we're not alone. You are our God. We love you so much, and thank you for loving us and dying on the cross for each of us this morning. We thank you And we love you, and we praise you, and we want to give you glory, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you.